serpent is the creature Peter will supplant centuries later, lest he be asked by Jesus to follow something other than his bliss. But we are getting ahead of ourselves, so back to the beginning. In the third of Genesis, a question is posed. What exactly did God say? An answer is commencement speaker has come to announce to an expectant crowd the possibility of a whole new life. The scene is neither a garden nor a college campus. It is a little village in the Caesarea Philippi district of Palestine. The commencement speaker is a teacher, and for many, even some who are here in these pews today, that is enough to say about him. For others, especially those who have been following him around the countryside for 3 years, this would be the day when they had to say more, when they had to confess that in him, God had come to them. "You are the Messiah," says Peter, "the Christ, the one who will save your people from a life of oppression and poverty and death, the one who will inaugurate in your reign a whole new life filled with endless possibilities, material abundance, freedom from fear and want." It was the Messiah Peter expected. But this commencement speaker, this bringer of new life, instead speaks to his disciples of the great suffering and rejection and death that await him, and by implication await any who would be his followers. Immediately, Peter takes Jesus aside and begins to give him a piece of his mind, because Peter is of a mind that he understands God's will better than God does. In the best light, Peter's rebuke could have been born of his love of his teacher, whom he would not allow to be hurt for anything in the world. In an honest light, Peter had left everything. Wife, home, job. Left it all behind for what ought to be a better life, a happier life, the life Peter had in mind. And having just come from the garden in the third of Genesis, I cannot help but wonder whether this teacher, who was human and tempted in every way as we are, found Peter's rebuke persuasive just for a moment. I wonder this because in his next breath, Jesus rebukes Peter, saying, "Get thee behind me, Satan." In other words, Peter's words to Jesus were the words of the serpent, the same tempter we met in Genesis, who had proffered the autonomous life to vulnerable human beings since the beginning of time. Could it be, as Nikos Kazantzakis imagined in The Last Temptation of Christ, that at this critical turn in the road, even Jesus was tempted to follow his bliss rather than the self-emptying, the self-giving love that would lead us to follow him to his death, and so to our life? Jesus rebukes Peter for setting his mind on human things, says Mark, and not on God. Then Jesus calls the crowd and, in the presence of the disciples, presents the life we are given to lead in him as a free choice. We are again in the garden. If you want to follow me, he says, if it is the life given you by God to lead that you would dare, then it will be a life clean, contrary to all the things that she made her greatest mark. The mission began in the Bronx Melrose neighborhood with an educational program for youths considered unteachable and incorrigible. By demanding rigorous instruction and requiring manual labor, but still offering affection, her Argus Learning Center achieved a 70% success rate. Soon, Argus expanded to address issues including teenage pregnancy, prisoner reentry, and AIDS. In 1989, Argus began Harbor House, a program to address homeless individuals suffering from both mental illness and drug addiction. Sturtz taught them horticulture and turned the rubble of abandoned lots into gardens growing tomatoes and green peppers, pansies, and petunias. High-scale restaurants buy their things to this day. Elizabeth Sturtz, who died at the ripe old age of 93, said that she, quote, wanted to be of use. In her book about Argus, she said she started her work in the Bronx for the simplest of reasons. I wanted to leave a footprint somewhere, perhaps even a wing beat. But here's the thing. Lest you think such a life eschews beauty in favor of goodness, delight in favor of dreary duty, this poet and novelist and circus acrobat and soap opera writer chose the name of her community from the Greek myth of Argus, the giant of many eyes. After his death, a compassionate goddess, not wanting this wonder to pass from the world, gathered up the giant's eyes and placed them in the tail of a peacock, a bird of transcendent beauty. Argus was for Mrs. Sturtz a thing of beauty. The place God calls you to is the place where your deepest gladness and the world's deepest hunger meet. Therefore, Jesus says to those embarking upon their life's adventure, in the imagination of Martin Luther, Jesus says this, not the work which you choose, not the suffering you devise, but the road which is clean contrary to all that you choose or contrive or desire. That is the road you must take. To that I call you, and in that you must be my disciple. On the 5th of June, dear graduates of the class of 45 or 58 or 66 or 71, or 82, or 97, and now the class of 2011. Know that the life you have been given by God to lead is not about you. It's about the God whom you were made to glorify and enjoy forever. Thanks be to God.